Rodney Orr joins us from Tider Insider. Rodney, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing wonderfully, and all these upsets just springing around everywhere. But as you and I saw Saturday night, that was not the case. There was no big worry from play one, actually, with Damian Harris getting the touchdown on the first play for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, well, I mean, Arkansas is kind of a beat-down team, let's be honest. They came in 2-3, not one of, you know, their better teams in recent years, obviously. And then you don't have Austin Allen. He's out, your quarterback. Can make it real difficult starting for any quarterback, but for a redshirt freshman quarterback making his first start, obviously, going to make it extremely difficult to really have much of a chance. And, you know, what did Arkansas have? 225 yards of offense, 227, whatever.
27 rushing.
Yeah, not much, yeah. And, you know, you're relying on him trying to throw the ball, what, 43 times I think he threw it? That's not a good recipe.
Some Alabama fans continue to ask the question, why doesn't Damian Harris get more than 9 to 10 carries per game? Can you answer that for him?
He might eventually. It's just, you know, right now there's really, like in that game, why when you're beating a team 41-9 or whatever it is and you're dominating the game, you know, run him and risk him much more than what they did. You know, when you have so many other backs, Bo Scarborough, obviously you want to get him in the mix, Josh Jacobs, you know, Najee Harris, you had all four of those guys get in the mix and keep them fresh as you get down the stretch. I think we saw that last year with Bo Scarborough. You know, the first half of the season when he was still trying to kind of find himself, get a feel for what he was doing, you know, he didn't carry the ball much. And then the second half of the season, he was so fresh that he was a dominant back down the stretch. And I think if you can, you know, keep these guys fresh and keep them injury free. And, you know, Damian did have some injuries last year, was kind of struggled with him, even though he ran for over 1,000 yards, but was nicked up at the end of the year. And I think that's the big key, is just kind of keeping them fresh.
He's not averaging 10 carries a game, though.
Yeah. Yeah. He's averaging 13 yards a carry or whatever it is. What is it?
It's 11.12 in conference play, 9.19. And look, I asked him, you were standing there with me when I asked him the question. He just kind of said, yes, I took that to mean. And every back wants more carries.
Sure.
But we're talking about 9 carries. We're not talking about 15 looking for 20-25. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about give the man 5 or 6 more carries.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can see that. You know, you got Hurts is running the ball a little bit too now. I don't know what Hurts ran it 10 times.
10 times, yeah.
I didn't realize he ran it 10 times. Yeah, I mean, you certainly could see that. I mean, again, he's been productive, though, with those carries. 9 for 125, 13.9 yards an average in that game, 2 touchdowns. You know, that's a big difference, too. What does he have now, 9 touchdowns?
He had 2 last year. It's 9 this year.
Yeah, 2 last year. So
he's just different to me. He looks different. He's lost the weight. He's still powerful. He showed that on the 4-yard run. I mean, I got to give him the ball 5 more times. I don't care if, you know, Najee Harris, whatever, they get mad. I got to give it to Damian Harris 5 more times a game.
Yeah, well, I think there's going to come a game where you're going to see that.
Overall, how would you assess the offensive line play? Because when you watch the game, I don't know, you guys are in the press box, but, you know, outside the Florida State game, I've been able to have to watch these games on television, and they really point out how the offensive line for Alabama, I know they're being nitpicky here, but the line is not playing up to his previous standards. Is that something that you would agree with, or you think they're being a little bit too harsh?
Well, they're running for 300 and something yards a game. They're number 7 in the country in running the football. So they're doing something right. I know that. And I know the week before, when they didn't run it as well, Ross Piersbecker said the coaches were pleased with pass blocking in that game. So, your word is probably right in terms of nitpicking. But, you know, and I know Coach Saban has said at times there's protection issues, but protection issues don't always mean it's the offensive line's fault. You know, it could be other reasons for that. And again, I don't know. He also said in this game that they indicated that they did some stuff defensively that Alabama hadn't seen before. or had not seen from them before, from Arkansas. So does that mean they're doing something different because of the way they want to pressure Jalen Hurts? I mean, and maybe the offensive line struggled in that regard. You know, I don't know. I mean, I defenses do different things. LSU did different things last year against Alabama. And I'm sure Texas A&M's doing some different things this year as well in terms of getting pressure. They're one of the top pass rushing teams in the country. But I do think, you know, Arkansas doing something differently, which I'm not really sure what they did in the previous games. But, you know, I'm not sure it's all on the offensive line.
Is it backs, tight ends? Because tight ends are now going out in the formation more, and in years past, we've seen them help pass block.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, you could see Arkansas blitz. They blitzed one time right up the middle, and you could see it coming. Now, I don't know if there was supposed to be a checkoff, and, you know, hot read, whatever it was supposed
right.
to be. I do know that Bo Scarborough stepped up, chipped the guy. You know, he didn't get a full shot on him. Well, he got a pretty good shot on him, but it blew up the play. I mean, it completely blew up the play. And again, when you're watching it, you know, it's hard to say what they were supposed to do.
We don't know unless we're the huddle.
Right. So you just it's very complicated to say exactly what maybe they were supposed to do. So difficult to say. But anyway, when you look at the play, you see the linebacker coming up the middle. You see Bo Scarborough step up and get a piece of him. But did not keep him from disrupting the play. Now, maybe Bo didn't, you know, that's on Bo, or maybe there was a hot read there that should have been or checked off to, whatever it might have been, you know, who knows. But, I mean, it was certainly the offensive line picked up every guy, and Bo tried to pick up the rusher, just wasn't completely successful at it. And again, so I don't know. I don't know what was supposed to happen there.
Rodney, do you know if Jalen Hurts has the ability, when he gets to the line of scrimmage, to check out of the play that is called from Brian Daboll?
You mean if they give him the freedom to do it?
That is correct.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think that's ever – I'm pretty sure
he need to get that answer, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
But, Rodney, you think that he does, though, correct?
Yes. I'm pretty sure he – I don't want to say – but yes, for example, I know he at least changed a call on the Damien Harris touchdown run, you know, against Texas A&M, that long run. You know, he checked off based on what he saw.
I remember that. Yep.
I would think you have to. And again,
yeah. That's
a sophomore in the middle of his sophomore year with a new coordinator, Pat, and he's allowed to check off.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think anyone's ever really said that, but I mean, it's pretty clear that when they come to the line, he's got things that he needs to see, and then that's where he makes the adjustments. So I'm pretty sure about the complete freedom, is another thing. I'm not real sure, but obviously he's got some leeway there.
Normal quarterback leeway that you got to have, right? I mean,
yes.
Let me ask you this, who's passed in here. Does Paul Tyson have the ability to check out of a play? He's high school at Trustful.
Do you Paul know? Tyson?
I'm asking Pat.
I would
your best guess.
Watching the games, the answer would be yes. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you need to have a certain leeway with what's
if you're a quarterback.
Yeah, what's going on in the game?
Because you can't look over with 5 seconds to go on the clock before you snap it and go, "Is this okay?"
I mean, unless it's third and seven and you got to have a first down late in the game and you check out of the pass and go to a run, you know, I think there's a problem. But, I mean, it's like you said, Rodney, on the goal line, you know, when Hurts checked off on that certain play, I mean, that right there is just something that I believe that as a quarterback you've got to have the freedom to do.
So, yeah. Basic stuff,
yeah,
is what you're saying. I mean, it's basic quarterback 101.
Not changing the whole complete offensive philosophy or what potentially is setting up for the next play that, you know, you're trying to get past the sticks. But
And the reason we're asking that is because the hot story now is Jarrett Stidham saying last night he does not have the freedom to do that, Rodney.
That is interesting.
Yeah, you have a five-star quarterback at Auburn that does not have the capability to check out of a play. So, but anyway. Yeah, it's not your problem.
Yeah. Thankfully.
Thankfully. All right, so what bothered you about the game? Anything? We're asking you to nitpick right now.
I thought the defense, I really liked it. I think Jeremy Pruitt, they're doing a great job defensively. But, you know, and again, I understand Arkansas's. That's not a really a measuring stick, in my opinion. But I do think they continue to do a nice job defensively, bringing this defense along. You know, on the another positive with Andy Papanastos, I think we need to mention him every time. That,
wow,
you know, what a big story he's been. He hit on 2 field goals, so she's doing a really nice job. On the other side of the ball, we talked about just the inconsistency. I still think. That the rhythm in the passing game is not there. Now, again, I don't know what they were trying to do the whole game. I don't know if they're working on certain things, you know, getting a feel for other things, and that's what really why there's, you just don't know. But at the same time, if you observe from what I saw against Texas A&M, what I saw against Florida State earlier, from what I've seen, in this particular game, I just don't see a lot of rhythm in the pass. I see some really nice throws that hit, and then I see it may be 2 or 3, 4 series again before we see something positive in the passing game. You got receivers that occasionally drop a ball, whatever it is, the protection issues that you mentioned. I just don't think it's a cohesive passing attack right now. And I go back to I don't see rhythm. People get upset about that. They think you're trying to criticize Jalen Hurts. Nobody's trying to criticize Jalen. At least I'm not trying to criticize Jalen Hurts. I'm making an observation that this is what you see. And I just don't see the rhythm in the passing game right now. Can it get there? Sure.
Well, and I think that's the best way to put it, rhythm, because I feel the exact same way, Rodney. It's not that you're attacking Jalen Hurts. It's just – You would just like to see the efficiency and the rhythm of this team. No, it's not. Outside of the running game, the passing aspect of the offense is just not there yet. And I think that's after 6 games or now 7 games in the season. I think most Alabama fans, if you wouldn't want to use that word again, being nitpicky, that would probably be the area that Alabama fans would say, hey, we've got to improve that. Before you get to the end of the season and try to go get into the college football playoff with a win in Atlanta.
Well, you remember in 2012, AJ's junior year. I mean, when you watched that team, you watched AJ deliver that ball. Of course, he had a stellar offensive line too. Now they got sacked several times. He took some sacks there in that game early in the season against Western Kentucky, I think it was. But for the most part, that was what I'm talking about when I'm saying rhythm. I mean, a guy drops back, that back foot hits. He's got guys. He knows where they are. Protection's there. He delivers the ball. I mean, it was really good to see when you saw, what you saw in 2012, that rhythm and then what it does for the running game. And, you think how much stronger could the running game even be if, there was a consistent passing threat right now with this offense. Because they're 102nd in the country in passing right now. I don't know what they're averaging per game. Scott usually knows that. But, I do know they're 102nd. And I think if you're talking about, when you start moving down the road, some of the bigger games, I think having a passing attack like that can threaten the defense certainly is something that they're working towards.
And to me, the disconnect, like we're all, I think we're in agreement that there's as the words we're using, a rhythm smooth. It's just not, sometimes he looks it, sometimes he doesn't, but the decision process is not quick as to, I'm going to trust Calvin Ridley to be there at that spot and I'm going to throw it before I see him. He waits to see him and he's gotten better, but he's not there. And to me, when you're running as good as they are, your passing should be better than average. Is that wrong to assume?
I think it helps, definitely. That's what every defense focuses on. But it looks like to me, to some extent, and again, be careful how you say it. People take it the wrong way. But it does look like to me that the defenses are, cheating a little bit, as I guess you could call it, or whatever it might be, in terms of, sending a lot of guys blitzes that maybe you got to make them pay for it, so to speak. You know, get them on their heels running the football and being able to make them pay in the passing game. And I think if you do that, then, you know, all of a sudden defenses aren't so aggressive, if that's the best way to put it. You know, again, but I know it's complicated. It's not something that we can solve here just talking about it, or probably couldn't solve it if we were over there watching the film either. But, you know, it's something that I think they have to get better at.
Rodney, do you remember the good old days when the third Saturday in October actually was a rivalry? Remember those days?
Yes, I do. Man,
that was a long time. I can't remember those, Pat.
we could have a little segment here just based on memories of the third Saturday in October, like 1973, when Gary Rutledge on the first play of the game. You're talking about the first play of the game.
Yeah,
he hits Wayne Wheeler on an 80-yarder. And looks like Alabama jumps on Tennessee early, and then Condridge Holloway brings him back and ties the game at 21. And then, you know, if you remember this story, Bear Bryant got a guy from the baseball team that was a center fielder named Robin Carey. He just wanted him to be able to field punts. He didn't want him to have to, you know, he didn't care that he returned them. And they stick Carey back there as a safe punt return guy, and he breaks 150 yards or so for a touchdown to get Alabama back going again, and Wilbur Jackson had a great run later. But it was a great game, 42-21 Alabama.
I mean,
there's your third Saturday in October.
Man. Yeah, I mean, outside of Terrence Cody and Julio Jones with the block,
wow.
I mean, wow. Against Lane Kiffin, you know? I mean, outside of that,
has there been a lot of drama dripping from it?
Yeah, pretty pedestrian since Nick Saban's been there. So,
what about the 90 game when Tennessee was
– Philip Dole.
Lee Corso put it perfectly. He said, this is a high school team going up against a bunch of future pro stars here.
Yep.
And Alabama won it 9-6.
Philip Dole, Huffman High School. Yep. Absolutely.
47-yarder.
Was that when Roger Shultz said we should pay taxes here? Never smoked cigars?
Yeah, we own this place.
We should pay taxes, yeah. All right, TiderInsider.com. And much more happening there with the podcast, videos, and recruiting updates. Oh, one other thing before you go. Sorry, we're running late and Kelly's mad at me. But Coinus Miller, because Pat brought it up, picks Auburn. His family is Alabama. Right. Is that over with, in your opinion?
Well, you know, Scott, again, it's a long process. Things could change dramatically. I mean, who knows what could happen. I think there's a lot of influence at that school to go to Auburn. When I say that, I mean, you know, T.D. Moultrie was there last year as a linebacker. They're friends. And he went to Auburn, and so I think that certainly was helpful to them to have him there and the relationships they have with their coaches at Auburn. So I think that was probably important. But I saw that video where his dad didn't look too happy with his decision. You know, his dad was wearing Alabama gear again. It looked genuine to me, but interesting. We'll see.